We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity once again, continuing with our Ramadan tafsir this Saturday, the 11th day of Ramadan, 1447 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. And, Amina School's Masjid in Boso, behind Boso Primary School, Boso Local Government Area of Niger State, Nigeria. And inshallah ta'ala, we shall continue from where we stopped. We're reading Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah is the fifth chapter of the Noble Quran. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, we have read up to the fifth verse, and we're supposed to start the sixth verse, inshaAllah ta'ala, today. Before we start, inshaAllah ta'ala, will just remind us of the purchase that we said we wanted to make yesterday. We have made it, and this is it hanging here. The set actually cost us 20,000 naira to buy. And then the person that went to purchase also transported himself there. So what we got yesterday was 15,000. And so today we need an extra 10,000 naira to complete that. Before you give us money for other things too. We hope you will, but at least before the end of today, if possible, we would like to have that 10,000 naira so that we give the person that went to make the purchase, because he used this money to purchase it so that we shall pay back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us people. And those listening to us online, our brothers here who are in charge of these things will really need your support. Even though they don't like me announcing this, but I have to, because it's the only realistic thing to do. It's not possible for them to keep spending this much without, it's not possible for them to keep spending this much every day from their first. So it's only good that we assist them, at least with some of the costs that they incur. Now. Okay, I'm not going to run over here. What else I need to look at too much? I think I'm going to carry some skills now. 4 million, they're going to go. I'm going to carry. So, ana buƙatar assistance sosai. Allah ya samu dace. Ya Allah assistance. So, but at least somebody has promised to give the 10,000 now. So that cost is covered. But of course, like I was explaining in Hausa, we still need a lot more. And also, our sheikh here who assists, he is the brain behind the whole thing, and then he is also the one that was assisting us with the qira'ah this year. Today, you notice that he's not around. He lost a loved one. I don't know who particularly. They just said he lost somebody. I don't know who he lost. So, but he's there attending to the janazah, and so he's not able to be there. So please put him in your dua. Whoever it is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the person's soul. And then may Allah give him the strength and the fortitude to bear the loss. So you can, if you have his number, you can also phone him and sympathize with him and pray for him. I'm sure that will make him happy, inshallah. So those who have should give to those who do not have, so that at least people will communicate with him and commiserate. So, we're going to start the sixth verse of we're going to recite the sixth verse of the Surah Al-Ma'idah and look at it inshallah ta'ala in the best way that we can. Bismillah ta'ala al-kabba. So today you are not reciting with revised words. What happened to revised words today? Some break. Why? Well, you were teaching me words and you just decided to cut it short today. Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفخه يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين وإن كنتم جنبا فطهروا وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم منه ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج ولكن يريد ليطهركم وليتم نعمته عليكم لعلكم تشكرون. Allah says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, all you who believe. Some would say, all you who have believed. I think we have dealt with this before. So all you who believe, إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة, if you intend to perform salah, but literally, if we were to translate it literally, we would say, if you rise towards salah, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, then wash your faces. So if you have risen and you are ready to pray, then wash your faces. Will it make sense? No. This will not make Sharia sense. Whether something makes sense to you or not, if that is the Sharia, you must follow it like that. But this one, Sharia-wise, it does not make sense. It doesn't mean that you perform wudu when you have started praying and when you have risen to pray. No. So that's why I translated it as, if you intend to pray and you have no ablution, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, then wash your faces, وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and your hands to your elbows, وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and wipe your heads. رُؤُوس is what the Quran said, not hair, not sha'r, not shu'ur. He says, what? Ru'us. وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ and wipe your heads. وَأَرُجُلَكُمْ and your feet. إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ to your ankles. So when you wash the feet, it will be up to the ankles. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُبًا فَطَهَرُوا. But if you are sexually defiled, or you have an impurity as a result of either sexual intercourse or at least ejaculation, فَطَهَرُوا, then purify yourself. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ. But if you are ill or you are on a journey, أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِنْكُمْ مِنَ الْغَائِطِ, or one of you goes to eat themselves, أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, or you have robbed your women, or you have robbed the women, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً, and you did not get water, فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا, then go towards a good place. That is all. فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ and wipe your faces, وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْهُ and your hands from that good place, that pure place. مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah does not intend, it doesn't please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place on you any burden. وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ, but Allah wants to purify you. وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ, and Allah wants to also fulfill his, ni'am, blessings upon you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, that you may be grateful to Allah. Now, I deliberately translated this word as I have done now. With this translation now, have you gotten anything full concerning what we are talking about? Do you understand what the ayah wants now from this translation? Do you fully understand the verse? Eh? For instance, if you do not get water, go to a good place or a pure place and then wipe your face and your hands from the good place. What does this mean? What does this mean? What's a good place? Is the bathroom a bad place? Eh? It's not a bad place. So which is a bad place and which is a good place? That is one. And then even the ablution that we explained. The ablution that we talked about here now. Is this how you perform ablution? Is it complete? It's not complete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said a lot of things here that what Allah wants is that when He brings ahkam like that, the Quran does not contradict itself. Somebody was saying that the Quran claims to be clear and complete, that on its own it is complete, it needs no this thing, that there is no ambiguity, this and that. Then he says, but the Quran again in another verse says that there are some ayats that are not clear to all people, except those who are knowledgeable. But to those who are knowledgeable, they are not clear. The knowledgeable people will have to explain. And even the knowledgeable people, some of them say, this one, we leave it to our Lord, we do not understand. So he says there are contradictions in the Quran. The people, the Shaytaniyun that we have today, who say that they believe only in the Quran and not in the Hadith. I deliberately translated this verse like this so that they will know that without the explanations of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, nobody is able to understand exactly what some ayat of the Quran are talking about. And there is no contradiction in this at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it out of His wisdom. If Allah wanted to explain everything to us without anybody needing to explain anything to us, He would not have sent the verses to a prophet. He would not have needed to bring a prophet. All He would have done would have been to inspire each person amongst us. And you just hear Allah speaking to you, this is what Allah wants you to do, and that is all. And He will explain it in details in the way that you will understand exactly what Allah wants. Is Allah not able to do that? Eh? And if Allah wants to do that, He will do it. Huh? Isn't it so? Yes. هو على كل شيء قدير. Isn't it? But He did not do that. Why? There is wisdom. If Allah sent the Prophet ﷺ to explain the Quran to us, and then the Prophet has nothing to explain, that means the sending him was not useful. Because each of us will now understand what he wants to understand, and that is all. And we don't need the Prophet to explain. So what is the use of the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There will be no use. And Allah says emphatically, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ لِتُبَيِّنَ وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we revealed unto you al-kitaba, the book, that is this Quran, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, that you may explain to the people, مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, those verses that were sent to them one after the other. That is nuzzila. First of all, he said anzalna, then he said nuzzila ilayhim. Anzalna ilayka, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought down the Quran from Allah al-Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah in one night. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam with the Quran. Then the Quran was coming to the people in bits and pieces, just like it was coming to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it was coming, he was explaining to the people. So nuzzila ilayhim, little by little, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending the Quran to them. So that Allah said, we sent to you the book, that you may explain to the people that which was sent to them in bits and pieces, little by little, one after the other, up to 23 years, that they may reflect on it. If it had come at once, which one will you reflect on? Which one will you not reflect on? It will be too much for you at the time. But when it comes one at a time, then the one that comes, you reflect on it, you digest it, you learn to recite it, you even implement it, and then another one comes. You also learn to recite it, you implement it, and so on. Little by little until it finishes. So that at the time Allah finished revealing the Quran, some also memorize the whole of the Quran. But if it had come at a time, it would have taken them much time, and it would have been almost impossible. But because it was coming little by little, it was easy for them. Even us now, if somebody wants to start reciting the Quran now, to learn the Quran, to memorize the Quran, how many years does it take? It takes some people more than 10 years, more than 15 years. to memorize the Quran. It's not easy. This one that they are doing 1 year, 2 years now, is the children are reciting and memorizing the Quran in 1 year, in 2 years, in 3 years. First, the children, you will see what that memorization means. So that the usefulness of the Prophet is explaining to us this deen. We need the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those people that say they are Qur'aniyun, they are actually Shaytaniyun. They are not Qur'aniyun. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned. I shouldn't meet any of you that will recline on his couch after eating and dressing like a peacock. And then he would say, whatever comes to me in the Quran, I will hold on to, but I will hold on to nothing else. Said, no, verily I have been given the Quran and its like. That is the Sunnah. The Sunnah is like the Quran. And some ulama wrote their books and they say, Sunnatul Rasuli, Shatikatul Quran. They are like children of the same father. The Quran and the Sunnah, they are one and the same because they are all inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they come from the same source. They are all words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them, the Quran, nobody is able to put in anything there. Nobody. But the hadith, some people can make a claim, but Allah will refute their claim through the ulama that will prove that this is authentic, this is not. So that the authentic ones will remain till the end of time. Nothing will happen to them. So it is still the word of Allah protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. Alhamdulillah. So this is why I did this kind of translation, because I want to draw our attention to that. Now the issue that we are getting into today is the issue of ablution. Ablution has spiritual and also practical implications. Physically, ablution has an effect on us. Spiritually, it has an effect on us. And it has its significance. The word ablution and wudu has more than one meaning. Even before we knew the Quran, or maybe, I don't know, Allahu A'lam, maybe they got it from the Quran too. You see the pagans of Europe, especially if you look at the writings of, what's this man's name? That man whose literature we were reading in secondary school. Shakespeare. No, hardly kid was not read in school. Was it? Was it taught in school? Did they teach you hardly kid in school? SubhanAllah. No, in our time they were not teaching hardly kid. Hardly kid is something you buy on your own and read at home. And most of the time it was even rascals that were reading hardly kid. Because Hadley case has a lot of pornography in it and very rough things happening in it. Hadley case, James Bond and all those ones, they were not of his school. So, but Shakespeare, William Shakespeare, he was a British writer. Maybe they don't teach that in schools now. They don't teach his books in schools again. In our time, we read his books for literature. So when he wrote a particular play that was like a tragedy, Macbeth. And that is Macbeth, he talked about something that was about ablution. That somebody committed a sin, the person killed someone and then felt remorseful and then washed their feet, washed their hands, washed their face, and so on, to cleanse themselves of the impurities that they had as a result of the sin that they had committed. So it was their way of repenting. Even in the Bible, you find the books of Leviticus and books like that, they are taught that when you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that you purify yourself and get yourself ready for your meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to purify yourself by performing ablution. This water that you see has a great significance in our lives. That's why the human beings cannot do without it. And no matter what else you use, nothing qualifies as a purifier more than water. Nothing else. Yes, water can get contaminated and so on, but when you get the good water, nothing purifies you as much as it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made ablution a way of purification for us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to his sahaba one day, and he said to them, Ala adullukum ala ma yamqu Allahu bihi al-khataya wa yarfa'u bihi darajat. Said, should I not show you that action which, if you partake in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cleanse you of your sins and will raise your rank with it? The Sahaba said, Bala ya Rasulallah, we want you to tell us, because we want Allah to forgive us. So the first thing he mentioned is Babul Wudu'i ala al-Makarihi. It's Babul Wudu'i ala al-Makarihi. That you perfect your ablution and perform a good ablution, complete ablution, even when your body is not in tune with it. Even when your body does not too much like it. Maybe because it's cold and you don't want water on your body. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to perform ablution, you go ahead and perform it all the same. You inhale and exhale water at the time that your nose does not like water because it's very cold. Things like that. But you do it all the same because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it. Especially when it is obligatory on you to do so. So these are all ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test your faith. And ablution is such that each time you perform ablution, a good ablution, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to perform it, when you wash your hands, the sins of your hands will go off your body along with the water that you're washing, that is dropping from your hands. When you wash your face, the same thing. When you rinse your mouth, the same thing. When you inhale and exhale water, the same thing. Until insha'Allah ta'ala, by the time you finish each ablution, all your sins have fallen. And ulama disagree. Is it your minor sin or is it your major sin that you lose as a result of ablution? The strongest opinion seems to be that even your major sins you can lose through ablution. So that each time you finish ablution, you have no sins again. You can get to that level. But what do you need? What do you need to perform that kind of ablution? What? You need the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if anybody comes and says, perform the ablution the way you think the Quran wants you to perform ablution, the way you think, not the way the Prophet told you Allah wants you to perform, that person is denying you this pleasure of having your sins forgiven. Because each time you disobey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you do something contrary to the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you do not get rewarded by Allah for them. Instead, Allah will be angry with you. Because Allah has said, من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. And then, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. So if you disobey the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when his rulings have been made clear to you, and then you follow a path that is other than the path of the mu'minun, the mu'minun follow what the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who were the mu'minun at the time that these verses were being written? They were the sahaba. So if you say today, you are going to perform ablution the way you want, or the way you think the Quran has said, that's your understanding. We will ask you, have you seen any sahabi perform ablution? No. So how do you know this is how the Prophet did his? How do you know? You will never know. And so the only ablution that Allah will accept is the ablution of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Therefore we should be careful. All these things of the Sharia that we are getting into, it is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that will teach us. And when we follow the teachings of the Prophet, we will be guided. وَإِن تُطِعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. It's only when you obey him that you will be guided. فَإِن تُطِعُوهُ يُؤْتِكُمُ اللَّهُ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا كَمَا تَوَلَّيْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ يُعَذِّبُكُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. So if you obey, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a great reward. But if you turn your back and say you will not obey, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you with a great punishment. So what we are going to read now will be explained to us by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so that we understand exactly what Allah means. And inshaAllah, I will show us how it's not possible for us to perform ablution using only these words of the Quran without the explanation that Allah himself has taught the Prophet. Those explanations that he taught the Prophet, which will be the only thing that will explain to you what the Quran means, they are also from Allah. So these ones make up Islam. That's why when Allah says, follow the book, he will say, and follow his messenger. So the book is one thing, the messenger is another. These two together make Islam. If you separate one from the other, you can never get Islam completely. Because if Allah wanted us to follow the Quran, he would not be saying, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ. Obey Allah and obey the messenger. But when it comes to the leaders, he said, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. He didn't say, وَأَطِيعُ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. He would just say, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ will be following also the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Quran. But as for the Quran and the Sunnah, you follow the Quran, you also follow the Sunnah, the way you follow the Quran. That's why he said, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. He would have said, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. He didn't say so. He said, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. The way you obey the Quran, obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obey the Messenger of Allah. So if you want to perform this ablution, you have to perform it first using the Quran, then the explanations of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then you will understand what the Quran means. First of all, Allah says, if you intend to pray, but he said, if you have reason, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. if you have reason to the salah, then perform ablution. So when you have reason and you have said Allahu Akbar, then you begin to perform ablution? No. Or when you have reason and you have said Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you have finished that, then you begin to perform ablution. Then when will you pray? So it's only the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that will explain to us. And that's why our alim says, إِذَا أَرَدْتُمُ الْقِيَامَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, when you intend to rise for the prayer, this is what Allah means. When you intend to rise for your prayer, before you rise, just like he said in Surah An-Nahl, I think, yes, Surah An-Nahl, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, right? If you have read the Quran, then say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Is that what it means? Eh? So you recite the Quran first, then you say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ? No. If you intend to start reciting the Quran. But if you were to translate these things based on only your own understanding, then you would not translate them well. That's why we need the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So if you intend to perform salah and you have no valid, you have no ablution. If the ablution you perform during Dhuhr is still valid, it is not compulsory that you perform another ablution for Asr. It is recommended, it is better, you have more reward if you perform another ablution. Because the more ablution you perform, the more Allah forgives your sin. So if you perform it, no problem. In fact, it's better. But if you do not perform, there is no sin on you. With one ablution, you can perform Salatul Fajr, Salatul Asr, Al-Zuhur, Salatul Asr, Salatul Maghrib, Salatul Isha, with one ablution. You can. Especially if you need to do so. You are in such a situation that performing ablution before every Salah will be difficult. But you have already performed ablution and nothing has happened to that ablution. It has not been vitiated by any condition. You continue to use the ablution to pray. You will realize the importance of things like this when you perform Hajj especially. You come from Arafah, you're coming to Muzdalifah, and you're able to come with the ablution that you perform when you perform Zuhr and perform the Asr. You still have that ablution. And you will get to Muzdalifah with your ablution. You don't have to go and perform ablution again. You will thank Allah. Because when you get to Muzdalifah sometimes, to go and perform ablution is a battle. Because there is so much crowd and there is little water in the place. So sometimes it will take you about 1 hour before you can obtain water to even perform the ablution. Sometimes you obtain the water, the place to perform ablution will become a problem. Because there are people everywhere. So you have to walk a long distance to get out of work and so on, you know, so many inconveniences. So that when you are in conditions like that, you now understand that if you are able to hold on to your ablution, sometimes it can be useful. So first of all, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ إِذَا أَرَدْتُمُ الْقِيَامَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ وَظَاهِرُ الْآيَةِ يَتَّضِي وُجُوبَ الْوُضُوءِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَرَّةٍ يريد القيام إلى الصلاة لكن أعلمنا ببيان السنة وفعل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أن المراد من الآية إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة وأنتم على غير طهر. If you intend to perform salah and you are not pure, you don't have your ablution, something has vitiated your ablution, then you must perform ablution. But if you have a valid ablution, you do not have to perform another ablution. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the salah of any of you if he has initiated his ablution. If something has happened that has rendered his ablution null and void, then Allah will not accept his salah until he performs ablution. Which means, if nothing has happened to the ablution you performed before, you do not have to perform another ablution. The one you had before will suffice, and so you can use it to pray. But there are those who go to the extreme. They say they have what they call al-walangiwa. The ablution of the elephant. Which one is the ablution of the elephant? It's never vitiated. So every day they have the ablution. So anytime he comes, you just pray. No need to perform another ablution. Because he is a wali and his ablution never and he never loses his ablution. If you pray behind such a person, it will almost be the same as praying behind a madman. Somebody who does not know what he's doing. Because somebody who says his ablution never gets initiated, he doesn't know what he's doing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one person whose ablution never gets initiated. At least through sleep or something. Sleep does not initiate his ablution. Do you understand? Yet, even when he has not slept, he still performs ablution when he can. So how can you come now and say your own doesn't get initiated and you never perform ablution? It's not right to do so. So, but then if you have a valid ablution, then of course. But it's almost impossible for us to perform ablution tomorrow with the ablution of today. Because you will sleep. Once you have slept, you have lost your ablution. Sleep is one of those things that initiate ablution. So once you have slept and woken up, then you must perform another ablution before you see another salah. وقد جمع النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوم الخندق بين أربع صلوات بوضوء واحد. So what is showing that it's possible for you to perform more than one salah with only one ablution is that on the day of the battle of Khandaq, the trench, Rasul صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم performed four salawat with only one ablution. So it's permissible to perform salawat with only one ablution. It's reported on the authority of Sulaiman bin Buraida and Abihi Buraida, that is, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلى يوم فتح مكة الصلوات بوضوء واحد. Even on the day of the conquest of Mecca, it is reported that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam performed all his salawat with only one ablution. So it is permissible to perform Dhuhr, then Asr, you also perform it with the same ablution, Maghrib the same, Isha the same. These Shaytaniyun today would say, you have to perform ablution for each salah. Because they say, the Quran said, whenever you intend to perform salah, you should perform ablution. If we were to strictly follow the Quran, the way we understand it, the way it appears to us, then we would say that if you have reason for the salah, then you should perform ablution. It's not when you intend to, that's not what the Quran says. Or did the Quran say so? It didn't say when you intend to, it said when you have reason. Maybe some of us really understand that, okay, when you have recited Fatiha and Surah, then you perform ablution. If everybody were to use this understanding, that is how the deen would be fasted. And of course, we would never understand the deen. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never meant it to be so. That's why he sent the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to explain to us the Quran. So the ulama explained that this command, that when you intend to pray, perform ablution. They say this command is not necessarily obligatory. This command is only saying perform ablution is better for you. That is, if you have a valid ablution, then perform another ablution. It will be better for you, even if you have a valid ablution. Some ulama say this is what this ayah is talking about. So this is what they say, that you just did the wudu'a, then just did al wala, that like they say in Hausa, that I have ablution but I want to perform another. If that's what you intend to do, there is no problem with that. But the problem comes when you say, I want to perform ablution. You say, what happened to the ablution you performed before? You say, I'm not sure of it. I'm not sure of that ablution. Are you sure that you passed the air? You say, no. Are you sure you urinated? You say, no. Are you sure you slept after that ablution? No. Did you use the toilet after that ablution? No. Why are you doubting the ablution? Say, I'm just not sure. It is the shaitan that is playing with you. That's why an imam wrote a book. He's Shafi'i, but he wrote a book and he called the book Daf'ul Ilbas an Wahmin Waswas. What he intended to do in that book is simply to take off any doubt in your mind that the shaitan put in it. If the shaitan put any doubt in your mind, that book will clear your doubt. So for instance, he brought the author of Abdullah ibn Umar. That Abdullah ibn Umar, when he urinates, he will need water to purify himself. He will clean the urine, wash off the urine. And then when he is getting up, he will start feeling that the urine is dropping again in his trousers. He said, no, this is shaitan. It's putting doubt in my mind. So what he needs to do is, if he urinates like that, and he knows he has washed the urine, he will take some water and pour in the trousers and then wear the trousers. So when he gets the feeling that the water is dropping on his trousers, he says, no, urine is dropping in his trousers. He says, no, it's the water that I dropped. The water I poured in it is the one that I'm feeling now, not urine. So that's where he took care of the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدِ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمُ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. This kind of waswas that gets into your mind, that when you have ablution, you want to go and pray, you start saying, no, this ablution, let me perform another ablution. But what happened to your ablution? Say, no, I'm not sure of it. When you feel that, the Sharia says, do not obey him. When it puts doubt in your mind like that, like somebody said, when he comes to pray, that when he says one rak'ah and he's in the second one, the shaitan will say, no, in the first one you are praying. So he will pray like 8 rak'ahs for only asr. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is a jinn amongst the shayateen, those ones who try to make worship very difficult for people. As for Allah, مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not place any burden on you that you cannot say. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا. سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not place on you a burden that you cannot say. So Allah does not make the deen difficult for you. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for you ease, doesn't want the religion to be difficult for you. So anytime such feelings come to make the religion difficult for you, know that they are from the shaitan. Do not obey them. So he said, when you have prayed one rak'ah, you are in the second one, and the shaitan comes and says, no, it's the first one. He says, simply what you do, turn to your left a little, spit air to your left a little, three times, and say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. Insha'Allah Ta'ala, that jinn will stop disturbing you. Do it in your salah, try it one day. It keeps disturbing you like that, do it and then continue with the salah. If you are sure that you are in the second rak'ah, but he's trying to put doubt in your mind, do not obey him. And do not perform any sujood qabli wa ba'di, forget it. Just continue with your prayer. The same thing happens with wudu. Sometimes you are performing wudu, you have gotten to the face, and then he will tell you, you did not rinse your mouth. Has this happened to anybody here before? So when he tells you that, telling you are a liar. Don't say it out, because people will say you are mad. Because people will be asking you, who are you talking to? Then when you say nobody, you say, this person. If you were the imam, they will now say somebody should replace you. This one is not in his correct mind again. They don't know what you're doing. So don't say it out. But say within you, you are a liar. I will not obey you. So he says, you have not rinsed the mouth. You say, I have rinsed my mouth. You are a liar. And then you continue with your wudu. He will stop disturbing you. If not, he will turn you into a madman. Somebody went to Abu Hanifa and said that I went into the river. I had my ghusl al-janaba. I came out all wet from the ghusl al-janaba, but I started having the feeling that maybe I just swam, that I didn't have the ghusl al-janaba. What do I do? What should I do now? Should I go and perform another bath? Abu Hanifa said to him, you are a madman. So the Sharia does not work on you. Therefore, that bath, do not repeat it. Just go and pray. Your hukum is like that of the madman. Because nothing, if anything happens to you as a result of madness, what will you do? Nothing. So that's the same ruling. What he meant to tell him is that as for you, when something like that happens to you, do not obey that feeling. That feeling is from the shaitan. He wants to make the religion difficult for you. وَلَقَدَ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا. He has led astray a lot of people before you. And that's how he does it. When he makes the religion difficult for some people, after some time they will get discouraged and say, Kai, I'm tired of this, every day I'm suffering because of this salah. Allah knows that I've tried. So they just stop praying because of that. I know somebody who said the reason why he doesn't pray is ablution. He finds it very difficult to perform ablution. And as a result of that, he stops praying completely. During prayer. So ablution is the only thing that's making prayer difficult for him. And that's because you decide to follow the shaitan, the evil whisperings of the shaitan. If not, ablution is easy. There's nothing difficult about it. Wallahu ta'ala alam. We'll stop here, inshallah. We'll run out of time. Tomorrow we shall continue. Bi-iznillahi ta'ala. May Allah forgive our mistakes. Now, this one says, how recommended is it for one to do the tasbir? Which one is tasbir? Akramakallah. Tasbir, تكبير، which I think he means تسبيح. تكبير استغفار، تكبير again before asking Allah for whatever we need while in sujood during the tahajjud prayer. Are these conditions necessary while in sujood as compared to when asking while not in sujood? If you are in sujood or in ruku, what you do first is Subhanallah al-Azim at least 3 times. Then you can say Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika Allahumma ighfirli. You can add that, but at least say Subhanallah at least once. Subhan Rabbi al-Azim at least once in the ruku. When you get to the sujood, the same thing. Say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la 3 times if possible. If you cannot do up to 3 times, at least say it once. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in the sujood. That's the tasbih you do, and then you say your dua. Do you have to say As-Salatu ala Nabi in the sujood before you say the dua? I have never read it like that. What I just read is after Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say, Allahumma ghfir li zambi kullahu, dikkahu wa jillahu, wa awwalahu wa akhirahu, wa alaniyatahu wa sirrahu. I didn't read that he used to do the Salatu ala Nabi. I didn't read that any of the Sahaba used to do that again in sujood. So it's not necessary. It's not, you don't have to. Just say the dua, because in the first place, especially when you are not the Imam will not give you time to do all of that. And anyway, nobody has compelled you to do that in sujood. So once you have said the Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, go ahead and say the dua. You can say that one or some other ones that the Prophet used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or any one that you feel like saying at that time. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, you should say dua. He didn't say you should say this particular dua. He said, sujood is for dua. So say the dua that you want. Also during tahiyya, at-tahiyyatu lillah, when you have finished that, you have done, Allahumma, you have done salatu ala nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you have said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azabi jahannam wa min azabi al-qabr to the end. Then you should say a dua, the one that appeals to you. There are the ad'iyah that Rasul taught, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can say those, and you can also add with any other one that appeals to you, that you want to say at that time. Maybe you say, Rabbi ighfirli wa li walidayya warhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. This is about the best dua you can say anytime you have the chance to say the dua. Because in this dua, you have done istighfar for yourself, you have done for your parents. If you do istighfar, you have finished any dua, anything you want in this world. When you say astaghfirullah, you have asked for it. Allah will give you even the ones you did not ask for. So if you look at the ad'iyah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, most of them had istighfar in them. If he was in jama'ah like this, for instance, you say he was amongst you now, listening to this tafsir. He will be saying, Allahumma ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwab al-ghafoor. And then what he taught Abu Bakr, when you are finished the tahiyyah, you should say, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta, faghfirli maghfiratan min indika, wa hamni innaka anta al-ghafoor al-ghafoor. And so on and so forth. Most of his ad'iyah, Allahumma ghfirli, إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ and so on. And look at the Qur'an. It's full of istighfar too. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِنْ نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَانَا. It's istighfar, isn't it? رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَّلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Let your dua mostly be istighfar. When Allah has forgiven you, if it is money you want, He will give you. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. All of these you get, just seek Allah's forgiveness. So let your dua not be mostly Allahumma qadidna. Like there was one this thing like that on social media. Say Allahumma qadidna, Allahumma qadidna qudan kathira. Say Ameen. So Pradawiya, what in Kafawiya, Walatakuwiya, and so on, like that. As if they are speaking Arabic, but they are speaking Hausa. They are making jest of the ibadah. This can lead people to kufr. When you play with ibadah like that, you can be a kafir. So it's a very risky thing for people to do. You don't joke with ibadah, you don't. But then that joke is actually reflecting the thinking of people. There was somebody who was shown during tawaf, was saying, Ya Allah, fulus, fulus in the code, Ya Allah, a'udhu billah. Somebody said, no, stop doing this. Ask for forgiveness. Ask Allah to forgive you. Ask Allah to forgive your parents. You come here and just ask for money. What will you do with money? Don't you know there are people with money that cannot sleep? Most of the people who have a lot of money cannot sleep. Somebody said that he had so much money that one day he said he doesn't see his money again. He only sees it on paper. He doesn't see it physically. He wants to see it. So he went to the bank to say, give me $10 million. And they gave him $10 million. He filled his motor, his car, with the money. He went home, he could not sleep. He was looking at the money. The next day, he brought back the money to the bank. How can you keep $10 million at home? What will you do with it? So all this money he has, he does not get the opportunity to see his money. He only sees it written with a biro on paper, that's all. But to see the money like this, you cannot. So what actually is that? Of what use is that kind of money? You keep asking money. The greatest thing you can get is the ghufran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should be asking for it. Allah ta'ala. So may Allah forgive us. Another question is, can we eat till the completion of the first azan during suhoor? Even after the first azan, you can still eat. Because the first azan is showing you that it's not yet Ulu'ul Fajr. It's not yet time. So you can start eating them. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said you should not allow that to deceive you. When you hear the call of Bilal, let it not stop you from eating. It is only the second Mu'adzin that when you hear his call, then it's time. But that of Bilal, he shouldn't stop you from eating because he called in the night. So the first Adhan does not stop you from eating. Even after the Mu'adzin has completed the first call, you can start eating. So this one says, if my mom is ill during fasting and she's not able to fast, but she promised to make up the fast when she's fully recovered. After she recovered from her sickness, but she was not able to fast, what she needs, can she and her son or daughter pay back these fasts on her behalf? Because it was a promise. If she is alive and she will be able to pay back herself, allow her to pay back herself. But if she has died, then pay back for her. Whether she promised or not, once she missed the path and she could not pay, then you pay for her after her death. But if she is still alive, then you will pay back. And let it not be that, because I heard you saying you and your brother, maybe you say, okay, she missed 14 fast, so you do 7, me I do 7. No. So two of you are fasting on one day and it's too fast. No. Each person that fasts is a day. Each person will fast, and one fast a day. So if you have decided that two of you will pay for her, one person will pay fast for 7 days, the other will pay for the next 7 days after this one has finished. Or you say, okay, you fast today, I will fast tomorrow. You fast today, I will fast tomorrow, like that. But you can't say two of us will be fasting the same day, and that will be too fast for mother. So after 7 days, you have done 14. Huh? You know, some people do a zero to everything. But may Allah restore our health. And if she has passed on, may Allah forgive her. I think we have finished with the question. Okay, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our mistakes and reward anything we did right. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return security to this nation, to guide our leaders, to guide our children, to forgive our mistakes, to reward our good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enrich us with halal so that we don't need it from anybody, but instead we'll be the ones to give. Because Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, Al-yadul ulya khayrun min al-yadul sufla. So may ours be al-yadul ulya. InshaAllah, may Allah enrich us with halal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala improve our economy. May Allah bring back peace to the whole world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our parents and grant us Jannah when we have departed this world. Bi rahmatihi wa huwa arhamur rahim. There are those of us who lost their wives. May Allah have mercy on their souls. There are those who lost their children. There are those who lost their parents. There are those who lost their friends, their brothers, and so on. May Allah forgive them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our dua for them this Ramadan and every time. May Allah accept our fast. May Allah make it much easier for us. May Allah bring us beneficial rain at the time that we begin sick, the time for it. Bi rahmatihi wa huwa arhamur rahim. Allahumma qasim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik wa min ta'atika ma tuballighuna bihi jannatak ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما حييتنا وجعله الوارث منا وجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you.